Want to be a lead magnet? It starts with using better words on your website. Hey, I'm Liz Teresa, and I'm here to tell you that improving your copy is the absolute easiest, quickest, and most cost-effective way to get more clients and cash rolling in. Go to freecopyvideo.com to download my free copywriting training. See you there. Hello, and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch and build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Liz on Biz. Here with me today is Jesse Curley and Andrea Bordenka. Jesse is the founder of the J. Curley Collective, and Andrea is the CEO. You're the CEO, right, of the Institute for Generative
Leadership.
I'm like, yes. I'm like, I just assigned you this really great title.
And
I'm
I'll
like,
take no. it. Hired.
Who doesn't want to be CEO? I feel like it's such a nice thing. It sounds so nice.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you guys with me on the show today. So welcome. I hope you feel like you're a warm welcome. A digital hug is happening right now.
I feel it.
Well, let's get us started. So Jesse, I'd love for you to tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm Jesse Curley. I'm the founder of J. Curley Collective, and I'm speaking to you from Western Mass today, which is actually where I grew up. It's my hometown, and over many years tried to escape the valley like many do and just couldn't leave, kept coming back. So I've been, over the course of my life, I've been doing mostly work in the medical field and practice management. And then I sort of shifted to consulting and leadership development and kind of fell into the mindfulness world. And that sort of led me to another path, which was working with the Family Business Center of Pioneer Valley. Sadly, that organization fell victim to COVID this year, which was a real loss. It was a 25-year organization and provided amazing resources for business owners and the community here in Western Mass. And so that's where I've been spending a lot of my time the past couple of years.
And now you have this, and you're launching J. Curley Collective, and it's kind of your new way, right, to blossom and share your gifts, it feels like.
Yes, thank you. Well said.
I like
yes,
that.
Yeah.
You gotta start from somewhere, and you're like, it's a very muddy beginning, but like, that's where the flowers come from.
It's totally muddy waters. That is a great way to put it. And I think what COVID did for me, which I think a lot of people are experiencing, is it just helps to cut through the muddiness of life. And it was a moment for me of what really matters, and helped me to really go inward first. Mm. You know, I was facing, you know, I lost my job, and, you know, I've got three teens at home. You know, we're sharing basically a room, all doing the work and the learning and everything from home, and, you know, trying to stay safe and then looking to my future. And that's where the origin of this business came from, was from that place of really sinking in, looking inward, and asking myself, what do I really care about? What really matters?
Yeah. And I think that like, and Andrea, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but I feel like what COVID has done for so many business owners and just like people in general is that it's been a time to go inward. And you're, even if you're like, I don't want to go in there and see what I'm really thinking about. it's really dark in there. But like, you kind of, we're all in this like really, really dark place where we all kind of are going inward and having this reflection area. And so what's good about it is that what Jesse, what I liked that you were kind of getting at is that your business is really being born from your values and your shared values too, that you seem to share with Andrea. When do you think somebody needs you guys? Like, when do you think the outside isn't matching the inside? What actually happens to a leader that makes them like a sick leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I realized, because I went through it, you know, I went through the disruption of losing a job and having to reinvent, you know, and I found that in that transition is when we are often so vulnerable, right? So when we're stepping into whether it be a new leadership role in our community or a new leadership role in the workplace, you know, how many of us are taking on new roles of being teachers at home or daycare provider, you know, all these new things, and there's so much coming at us right now. That is when we are vulnerable to doubt and questioning our self-worth. And that's when I think this work is most valuable, because it reconnects you to your inner power, and you've got it with you there all the time. You know, it's there for the taking.
Well, yeah. And do you think, like, because all entrepreneurs or all business owners are leaders. There's that, right? And then there's like, okay, when is a leader? I feel like we get, I don't know, what is it? I don't want to say like lackadaisical, jaded. Do you know what I'm saying?
And well, then burnout is part of it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew,
can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yes. Oh, we lost you for a second, but you're safe now.
Good. Yeah, so I went through burnout. I had addiction issues. I was diagnosed with bipolar. I had an alcohol problem. I was a smoker, and I don't do any of that anymore. And really, it was that transition from the thinking I have to do it all by myself and not knowing how to ask for help. It was a huge edge. And so now, like with what Jesse is offering in the world, is how to access our dignity, because dignity doesn't mean we have to be composed and poised all the time.
Definitely
it's our inherent self-worth. That means the humanity of not knowing, of crying, of being angry, all of that is a part of our dignity. So how can we take the mask off from like showing up how we think we need to show up and like let the heart in, where we're connecting through that tenderness. So we're actually deepening our connection both to ourselves and to others. And that's the edge for me.
And it's like, I feel like dignity, I think that you just explained this really well. And so I want to magnify it for our listeners, but it's a self-worthness. It's something that for some reason we only internalize, it sounds like, or we have a tendency to keep dignity internal. Like, oh, I need my dignity. It's like a thing that people say, like, I still have dignity. Like that's kind of a turn of phrase people use, but when do you think, when do we get disconnected from it, and why do we tend to disconnect from it? What happens? Why does that happen?
And it happens all the time too. And it's not a linear path. It's not like you lose the connection, you find it once and you're all set from there. It's a reconnecting all the time. And what happens is, you know, we have dignity threats and insults that happen to us our entire life. It could be something as a young child where, you know, your identity isn't accepted. Something as simple as that, you know, I think of another example, if you're a trans identified person and you're going in to get healthcare and you're not accepted, your identity is not accepted there and you're not treated fairly. I mean, certainly what we're seeing happening right now with all the racial injustices and the turmoil that the world is facing politically. I mean, these are all things that can make people question who they are and their worth, because it's the messaging that's coming at them. And if people are prone to relying on external validation to feel their dignity, so if I get that job, then I will be worthy. Or if I have that romantic relationship, I will be worthy. You know, all those things. But really, so that's the disconnect, is when you keep giving that away to other people and other things for you to feel worthy. But really, the worthiness is there all the time. It's a matter of reconnecting and embodying it.
And it starts with our conditioning, our languaging. So when we say to little kids, be brave, be strong, don't cry, don't be a baby, all of these things where it's like, don't be frustrated. These little, even they seem so innocent, like they're just like, don't cry, be brave, suck it up. But then we learn to hold it in, but then we're learning how to wear that mask. So these are conversations that we can actually start to have as soon as kids are verbal, but even before that, to demonstrate to them that to show up and to be able to name our emotions and act from our emotions versus reacting from them, but really acknowledging them, because in every minute, we're in a whole bunch of emotions. We could be in one emotion, we could be in several. So that's a part of our humanity. So dignity is contained in this bigger bubble of what it means to be a human being. And we're like pretending that we're machines.
Wow.
Because like Jesse says, it's focusing on the external versus like, no, what does it mean to be human, not only in our families and our lives, but in our organizations? How do we access this, allow our employees to feel this? I've heard leaders say to their employees, leave your emotions at the door. It's like, no, you can't. We're human. We're there with us all the time. So how to like create the space to open up those conversations versus pretending like they're not happening internally anyway. So it's just making it safe.
That just like, you guys both blew my mind for different reasons. So like,
that's what we're here for starters, you know.
No, it's good. This is good mind blowing because, Jesse, what you were drawing attention to is like, it's a programming, like Andrea is saying too. It's a programming of, I will be successful when, or this will be, I will be worthy when, like I am good enough when this happens. It's sort of like, you know, I'll apply for that job when I lose the weight, or like I'll start dating, after my Botox injection. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what people say. It's people make up rules for things, you know, like, like I'll join Match when I'm 155 pounds and not 160. Like people are like, it's crazy.
And that's the key that I believe that this work has the power to do, is to give people more agency, more choice in their future. Because if we are acting from a place of disconnected to our self-worth, we're not going to end up in a place that's authentic to our true goals and dreams and potential, because we're seeking something that's externally valid, or it's for other purposes other than our own. Whereas if we're connected to that sense of worth, we're going to act in alignment and move ourselves towards those goals better. You know, the conversation piece is something that Andrea and I are really focusing on in our pilot program. And the reason is because conversations is how we relate to people, right? It's how we express our inner desires, you know, our inner goals, our inner values. And it's one of the tools we use to get to where we want to be. And so if we can help people have tools to connect and have that awareness and literally embody their sense of dignity, then chances are they're going to speak their truth, right?
And that's
the power.
That part of the voicing, giving people the choice and the agency, it happens in the body. So from the Institute for Generative Leadership, I learned that conversations and leadership, it is a full body contact sport. It actually involves our whole nervous system. So for me, with my addiction, my alcoholism, my disconnection from people and trying to push through, was thinking I had to live other people's expectations, the external. Success was money. Success was this other thing. Yet I was deprived of all of my energy and vitality. So once I learned that, oh my gosh, I can design my own life. And yes, I might upset other people, could be my parents, could be other people that really mean a lot to me who are imposing their views, thinking they know what's right. There is no right or wrong. Life's biggest questions don't have a right or wrong. So that's where it's important for us to tap into, what do we care about? What is my dignity? How is that going to be my compass so I can have the voice to speak what I really care about? And other people might not like it, and that's on them. So how can I really be a stand for my life here?
Right. And I even want to harken back to what you were saying before about kids. And I think that we all have moments in our childhood, or I think we all must have those moments where like something happened and it like rings in your ear now. Right. Like even like, so I'm like in my 30s, but like when you say like the don't be a baby, I remember being on the school bus and I was crying about something. And my best friend was like, I'm not going to sit with you if you keep crying. She's like,
yeah, it's not socially acceptable. And that's what, when Jesse was talking about conversations internal, So we have these internal conversations that come from history that mm-hmm. we're living as if they're true. Our beliefs become like they're true and they're not. So yeah. our dignity in conversation is about being observers of the internal chatter, so then we can recreate new stories that are more generative. So I had lots of those stories in my head too, like you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not thin enough, all of these things that came from what I was told when I was younger. And it's like, no, well, what is enough? I'm not smart enough, like by whose standards? So once we can get clear that there's actually a structure, a way that we can engage in these conversations and then reconstruct them and create new conversations, then we can step into, okay, what are the conversations I need to have? And that might mean saying no to some things, that might mean asking for help, but how hard is it for us to ask for help and to say no? People love, they don't want to piss people, excuse me, they don't want to upset other people. So they'll say yes to everything and then they're overcommitted at the expense of their vitality. So we show people how to actually practice saying no, how to actually practice asking for help and noticing what's happening in the body, because the body's not going to like it, because the neural pathways that are embedded in our nervous system, we have reinforced over time. So our body actually feels like it's unsafe for us to ask for help. It's actually unsafe for us to say no, when in reality, it's not unsafe. It's just the conditioning, what we've learned, what we've practiced. So to reorganize ourselves, we need to disorganize our nervous system, step into that edge that where comfort meets discomfort, and to be held in a community of safe practitioners who can say, oh no, that discomfort, that is dignity. What you're yeah. feeling right now, it's you stepping in to be that bigger voice, to sing your song. And it doesn't feel like your body's not ready to do it, because it's not yet organized, because it's not been in that practice. So yes. we're going to help you create those practices in support, so you're not alone in this anymore. You're not suffering with that internal chatter, don't be a baby, I'm not going to sit next to you, which right. permeates us.
Well, and anything that's, I love how you even explain this, like as a neural pathway, any new behavior too, like I even switched to having smoothies in the morning, just as an example. Yeah. It's a behavior, right? Just like the way that we have thoughts. It's like, it's a thing that's happening, right? So like, but I, the first time I did it, I was like, who are you trying to be? to myself.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
I was like so mean about it. But then yep. it was like, now it's weird when I don't. But like, it's because over time I had to, it's almost like anytime you're going to make a new road somewhere, it starts anytime. As a dirt road.
Totally.
And then it becomes a nice highway in your body.
Your example is perfect. If you think, and go ahead, Jesse, sorry.
I get so excited. I get so excited too, because, you know, just a quick reference too, is that part of my training that led me to this work was being part of the Daniel Goleman Emotional Intelligence Coaching Certification Program a few years ago, and learning about the neural pathways and learning actual tools and techniques for self-awareness and embodiment, and to be able to have more agency in how we respond, right? And then what you were just talking about made me think of the course that I was in with the Institute for Generative Leadership. I went through the Foundations course and we did the crossing your arms exercise, Andrea. So,
yeah, so shall we do it?
Yeah, we're going to do it right now. So
okay.
cross your arms like you normally would, just in front of your belly or your chest. Okay. And now take note of which one's on top.
Cool.
Which arm is on top.
Okay.
Now try to cross them the other way with the other arm on top.
Oh, it's so broken. It's wrong.
Right? Like, and
if you do that a few more times, like at first, like the stories that we have, like, oh, I can't do this. Am I doing it right? Why is she getting it? I'm not getting it. Why is she getting it fast?
I feel like I'm going to dance.
That's learning. And it can be a dance. That's one story, right? It can be a dance, or it can be like, I don't like this, I'm stopping.
Yeah.
And that's what we do when we're approaching that edge. It's like, oh, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not good at this. I wasn't born to do this. It's like, no, practice is like intentionally putting ourselves there when we're committed to what we're doing. And then after a while, your body just like, now I can do this because I've done it so many times at workshops. Yeah. I can do this so much more easily because my body now has the muscle memory, the neural pathways to engage in this. And that's what learning can be. People who get afraid to speak in front of people, it's like, oh no, I can never speak in front of people. First, you have to let your heart rate go up, your face get all red, feel all of the stress physiology things in your body, your biology keeping you safe. And then after a while, if you're really committed to speaking in front of a group because you want to teach or whatever it is you want to do, you'll get more and more comfortable in that. I used to be so provoked by being in conversations like this because of all that. It's like, if I really want to get my voice in the world, I need to practice. I need to get into that discomfort, be comfortable with the discomfort until finally now I have a bigger edge. And now I'm fine speaking in front of groups and all that because I've crossed my arms, so to speak, right?
Right.
And there's times where it's like, I can do it without thought. It's just a habit now.
I have a question for both of you guys, because when we're talking about dignity, and as this internal thing, right, and bringing it external, as a marketer, when I hear this, I also think about authenticity. So when people show up online and like they're like, I'm going to say what I really think, those kinds of posts, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And like they work, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, if they're really aligned and they're not just BSing us, right? I think it really, that's when you feel it and it works. Mm-hmm. And so, and yeah, it is, am I correct to draw a connection between that type of performative authenticity? Not to say that it's not real, but like, that's what good content marketing is then when you bring your dignity and you communicate it, right?
I think so. You can tell with people, like our biologies, we can tell like, when someone's being authentic or not. Sometimes we will second guess ourselves because we don't often tap into the wisdom of our body. But the same is true in social media. So if someone's showing up in a certain way where they're forcing something, it's like you can detect like, okay, what is the underlying, is there an ulterior motive here? Or is this really for the sake of connection and commitment? You can kind of sniff out those people that maybe are saying something just to say something that maybe isn't totally authentic, but is contrived. So I'm right there with you with marketing. If we really want to get our offer in the world that is connected to what we care about versus it's going to be marketable, I'm going to make lots of money, then there's a different quality of connection that comes across in the messaging.
That's
my first blush.
No, yeah, and Jesse, then, to elaborate on this, I feel like then my next conclusion would be that like once you start to unwrap dignity and you start to become aware, it's even like it's like an awareness of it.
Absolutely.
So then you can communicate it. What do you think is like the spider web effect of that? So like I think one effect is one that we just called attention to, which is like, well then if we become more aware of our dignity, it improves the way we market ourselves probably as a business, because then we're clearer on how to show up in a way that's like, that's legitimately authentic and not contrived. But what other spider web effects do you think happen for a leader when they get more connected to dignity?
Well, I think I can give you an example of what I just went through as a business startup, right? So I'm launching a new business and I did the creative process around the name and figuring out, you know, the values for me and all of that. And I actually launched the business under name V1 and turned out I wasn't able to use the name, and there I ran into some hiccups, and I noticed that experience, it tried to take me down. And all of the people that I was collaborating with, you know, Andrea and other people who have been helping me along the way, didn't really understand, like, why are you feeling so unraveled by this setback? Just pick a new name, no big deal. But what had happened is it had triggered things in me. It triggered this dignity threat, right? I started to question my worthiness, literally, as a business startup. You know, who am I to start a new business? See, I screwed up. You know, I look at this. I don't know what I'm doing, and who's going to trust me? Like all these things. And that stuff is old stories. That wasn't really about what was happening. It was all old stories, but a setback sometimes opens the doors for all those, that kind of garbage to come in and cloud our thinking. And so what could have happened for me is I could have given up. I could have just been like, this is too uncomfortable. I'm too embarrassed. I can't deal with this setback, and just given up. And so to me, this work is high risk if you don't do it. You actually can lose really important opportunities because of, if you fall trapped to the self-doubt too much, or the risk feels too risky and you don't have the tools to connect to your strength, to build a toolkit to figure out how to get through those periods of doubt, you might give up. And to me, that's just such a great loss. You know, what a shame. Like, we have so many beautiful things to offer, and we all have so many gifts and talents, and especially business leaders. You know, if you fall into that trap, you're going to be confined and restricted into your potential. And who wants that? we need you more than ever right now, right? Exactly. Like, business is, it's a tough time to be a business right now. And so we need creativity and authenticity like never before.
And
you have to have tools to be able to do that, because you can't just decide one day, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to be creative. It doesn't happen like
here
that.
I am. Yeah. And with that, it was like, you know, the beautiful part about that, because I totally got it, Jesse, when you were going through it, I totally understood like how it can feel so defeating. The beauty of it, what I saw, the opportunity was how to be able to speak about it when you come through the other side. It's like in the middle of it, it feels so messy, but that's a part of the dignity. It's like, but you keep at it, but you have that moment of grieving, allowing the self to take that week or two. And I was amazed at how Jesse was able to be so resilient, because you tapped in to your community to say, you know what, I'm feeling all these things. It feels really yucky right now. And it's like, what a beautiful gift to share with the world that this was a part of your story, your origin story in launching this business. Like, what's more dignified than that? And it takes community for us to be able to, if we're suffering alone, we can stay stuck. And the spider web effect, like Jesse was saying, was like reaching out to your network and saying, hey guys, I'm experiencing this. And then people lift us up. But if we're not calling on them, then we could stay trapped in the middle all by ourselves. So I thought that was a beautiful example, Jesse. Like, you were a walking example of what
I had to. Is. Yeah, I had to walk the talk of my own work. Totally. It was kind of, and then that's what birthed J. Curley Collective, which is actually more reflective of the spirit of how I want to do work in the world, collectively, collaboratively. You know, so the Dignity series is part of that, but J. Curley Collective really represents the greater spirit of it.
Well, and that's where your program comes from, the one that you're launching very soon, Dignity in Conversation. So tell everybody, then this, believe it or not, this is actually my last question, but like, okay. I think it's okay, because we've talked about the important stuff that leads to us talking about what this is. So tell everybody a little bit about what Dignity in Conversation is going to be and how it works and how they can do it. Cause I'm I'm very like, meow. Myself, I'm
yes,
like,
come.
Yeah. Come. Well, the first thing I'll say about the program is that it's unique and that there's two parts to it. There's a workshop component and there's a peer group session. And I did that intentionally because I think it's great to have like a practical workshop. You know, Andrea and I will be co-facilitating that. We also have 5 amazing guest speakers to come and tell their dignity story, you know, sharing stories of resiliency. We have someone coming in to do an embodiment exercise to guide us through that so they can actually get into that feeling of self-worth and connecting. And so that's the workshop component, which is on January 19th, and it's all virtual setup. And then the week later, on January 26th, we'll have a peer group session with that same cohort to do kind of a deeper dive. And that's the juicy stuff where you get to really talk about the personal struggles and build a plan for accountability. You know, how are we going to take this into the world on an individual basis? So that's the program. And
I love that it's 2 days, because I think we all get so tired on one long Zoom day. So like, I already am like, oh, thank goodness. And then I love that you separate it by a week, so then people actually have the time to digest. Because things like, I'm a very digesty person with content. in information. So like, I like to perk. I call myself a percolator. Like a
coffee maker. Super hands on. Like and plus COVID has killed my attention span. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's like, if I'm not standing up, sitting down, talking, jumping in breakout rooms, I mean, Andrea and I are going to try to bring in as much of that as we can, because we know everyone's kind of zoomed out.
Well, you guys are like, I love you both terribly. I'm so glad we met and connected today. Tell everybody how they can find you online and buy tickets, because they should do everything to you that
right
they can.
On. Yeah. Okay. So you want to go to jcurleycollective.com, which is spelled jcurleycollective.com. And you'll see our programs listed under there. And the program is Dignity in Conversation. It is our pilot launch, and it will be on January 19th.
Awesome. You guys, do it when you get to a red light. I'm just kidding. Pull over. Or do it when you're at your desk. Hopefully you're not driving. And all the links will be in the show notes. Jesse and Andrea, you guys are fantastic. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review, because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes and more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.